Our mini Advent keeps racing along. Christmas Eve is 1 week from tonight. So we have an interesting liturgical phenomenon here. Usually the beginning of the second part of Advent, starting with December 17, and the third Sunday of Advent are two different events. They don't usually land on the same day, but this year, December 17 is the third Sunday of Advent, and so we have this day of rejoicing. Third Sunday is the day of the pink candle, the Gaudete Sunday. And at the same time, it's the beginning of this second phase of the Advent season. So it's a two-for-one deal here. And for me personally, this is always an important day because it's the anniversary of my baptism, December 17. So I'm a Christian for 62 years as of today. Day of rejoicing. So I have three reasons for rejoicing. Rejoicing because it's Gaudete Sunday. Rejoicing because we're starting the week of the O Antiphons, the second part of Advent, and rejoicing because I'm baptized as a Christian. Well, you all are baptized too, so you rejoice for the same reasons. Now, just to organize a few thoughts for this morning, I'd like to focus on two themes. One is joy or rejoicing, very clear from the readings and from the liturgical day. And secondly, identity. So joy and identity. Well, about joy, as I say, the readings make it very clear that this is a day of joy. Paul says in the second reading, rejoice always, rejoice always. Isaiah the prophet speaks about the rejoicing that comes with the arrival of the Messiah. I rejoice heartily in the Lord, in my God is the joy of my soul. And then the psalm is the Magnificat. My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. So all about joy. And this time of year is associated with joy. I mean, it's Christmas time. Christmas parties today. In fact, there'll be a lot of Christmas parties this week. Even people who are not particularly happy or who don't really enjoy the Christmas season know that this is a season of joy. Joy to the world. I mean, it's in the air. But Christian joy is not the same as worldly joy. And this is a very important distinction to make, because if we associate the joy of this time of year, if we think that rejoicing always, which is what Paul says we should do, rejoicing, if we think that means celebrating always, having good times always, having parties always, enjoying earthly delights always, we're going to be very disappointed very soon. Because that joy just can't last. It's good to have things to, it's good to have good food, it's good to have good music, it's good to have dancing and celebrations, yes. But it doesn't last. After the party's over, you go home and no more music. You know, one of the dynamics that drives compulsive behavior or addictions is this idea that we can keep getting more joy by doing the same thing more. So if one drink makes me happy, two drinks will make me happier, three drinks will make me even happier. And if I want to be happy all the time, I have to keep drinking all the time. Or a gambler, if I place one bet, maybe I'll win. If I don't win the first time, I'll place another bet, maybe I'll win. And this idea of maybe winning and maybe being happy because I win, becomes a kind of endless cycle until you run out of money or until you die. That's the way the addictive cycle ends, is when people die. No, we're not talking about that kind of joy. We're talking about a joy that lasts, a joy that does not come from self-satisfaction, but from the Lord. And it overlaps. I mean, some of it happens at the same time, but it's two different things. Joy in the Lord can remain even when we're grieving. I think St. John the Baptist has a great expression of this joy. It's not in this reading, not in any of these readings, but when he speaks about his own joy, and we know he's a saint of joy because he leapt for joy in the womb, but when he speaks of his own joy, he says that the bride is for the bridegroom, the best man listens for the bridegroom's voice, and rejoices when he arrives. I'm just paraphrasing. That's from John chapter 3 somewhere. And then John says, this is my joy, and it is complete. This is my joy. Not that I'm the Messiah, or that I'm getting all the attention. My joy is that God has come to unite himself with the bride, and my job to announce him is what is where I have my fulfillment. So joy in the Lord. Now, actually, the best expression of joy in the Lord is Mary, who says, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Mary, whose joy is put to the test by many, many sorrows. We honor her as a sorrowful mother. But her sorrow does not squelch her joy. She experiences sorrow and joy at the same time. And this is Christian joy. It remains even when we're sorrowful. Now, the terrible news of the war in Israel brings out this contrast. In Bethlehem this year, we spoke about this just yesterday. In Bethlehem this year, which is usually a very festive, joyful time to be in Bethlehem. You would have been there. This year, no. Not a joyful, festive time. And yet, we cannot not rejoice at the birth of the Savior. Maybe we can't make a pilgrimage. Or maybe we can't have a big gathering. Maybe there's even threat of violence. But those things which are very sorrowful elements of our current experience do not squelch Christian joy. Just the expressions of it. The feeling of it, but not the lasting reality, because the joy that comes from the Lord is the joy that doesn't end. So that's a big theme for this third Sunday of Advent. Now, second point I want to reflect on is identity, and they go together, because if we know our identity, then we will have joy. John the Baptist knows himself. He knows himself very well. He accepts himself. He knows his mission, he knows what he's supposed to do, and that's what gives him joy. As I said, he describes himself as the friend of the bridegroom, and that's what gives him joy. This is my joy, and my joy is complete. Identity. His identity does not come from what other people think of him. He's not fulfilling anyone's expectations. And he's not making up his own identity either. So these errors, which are very common, meaning taking on an identity that's gained from the society or from the clan or the culture, or just making it up on our own, those are two errors, which I think John the Baptist helps us dispel. In this gospel, representatives of the Jewish culture and religion come to ask him the very blunt question, who are you? And what they mean by that is, what category are we supposed to put you in? How do you fit into our hierarchy of roles? You're obviously somebody, and everybody thinks you're somebody. Well, who are you? Who are you? Are you the Messiah, the Christ? A lot of people think he is. No, he says, no, I'm not the Christ. Are you Elijah? Elijah was supposed to come again before the arrival of the Messiah, and here something's going on. Are you Elijah? No, I'm not. Are you the prophet? The prophet was also a figure in Old Testament a tradition, a prophet like Moses. Someone's supposed to come along like Moses and do the same kind of liberating work. No, no. So, in other words, I'm not any of the things you have in your mind. And then they say, well, what are we supposed to say about you? And John says, I am a voice crying out in the desert, make straight the way of the Lord, as Isaiah the prophet said. So he's saying, I do have an identity. And it's a clearly defined identity. And it's even revealed in the prophet. It's just not any of the categories you had in mind. It comes from God. God is the one who called me and gave me this mission. Now, this is true of all of us. Our identity comes from God. Discovering that identity and owning it, accepting it, embracing it, that's what gives us freedom and joy. Any other identity is a trap. Maybe you've heard this expression, identity politics. Identity politics. People identify themselves with a particular social or religious or cultural group. And once they do, that's a box they can't get out of. Or until they turn to the Lord and say, I'm not fully identified with any group. Sure, I belong to categories. Yes, I belong to my nationality. I belong to my gender. I belong to my religion. I belong to my socioeconomic status and my educational status and all that. Yeah, those are actually descriptive of us, and they're not inaccurate, but they're not who we are. You know, I do a lot of work with courage. The courage members have same-sex attraction. So the label that the world puts on them is gay, or gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, LGBT. That's an identity, that's a label. And a lot of these courage members have lived with that label for a while. They took it on, they take on the lifestyle. They say, well, if I'm gay, I'm gay. Okay, I'll live like a gay person. And they end up miserable. It doesn't fulfill them, and they find, once they discover that they've been lied to, so what was that all about? And then you could imagine them, someone going up to them and saying, well, who are you? Are you gay? And then they say, well, I experience what you identify as a gay person, but I know, I don't, that label, I'm not accepting that label anymore. Well, who are you? Are you transgender? Are you bisexual? Are you two-spirit? Or what, all these different genders? No. And then the right answer, if they know this, is I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm created by God. I'm made in God's image and likeness. He made me who I am. That's my identity. And once people discover that, wow, they really experience freedom and joy. Now, each of us has to make this application. You're not me, and I'm not you, and we're not each other. We are a unique creation of God, a unique icon of God, every one of us. And we have to respect one another, too, and our own identity. Just to share one short personal application of this, today's December 17. Not only are there a lot of masses because it's Sunday, but we're in the Simbangabi Novena, so there are even more masses today than on almost any other day of the year. And I wasn't asked to offer any masses today. And I have in my mind, and I've kind of worked through this in past years, I have in my mind that a priest in the Philippines should say a Simbangabi Mass. Of course he should. There's dozens of masses going on, and priests should do their part. But that didn't happen to me, and I didn't accept any 4 a.m. Mass. So I'm applying this gospel to myself. Are you a priest in the Philippines? Yeah. Well, then, are you going to say a Simbangabi Mass? No. Are you saying a Mass in the parish? No. Well, who are you then? Who are you then? You see how you have to be able to say no to expectations of others and accept the reality of your own identity and your own mission. So I'm an Anuam priest. And I'm in an Anuam center. I'm saying Mass in an Anuam center. That's God's will for me today. Now, that's my personal application. You do the same. Who are you? Who are you? Are you Miss Universe? Are you the richest man in the world? Are you the most powerful person in the neighborhood? No, 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 I'm not any of those things. Well, then who are you? Well, I am the person God made me to be. I'm a voice. I'm a mother. I'm a daughter, a son. I'm a consecrated person, or whatever. And say, if that's who I am, I don't have to be more than that, and I should not be less than that. I don't have to take on the burden of filling in other people's expectations, but neither should I avoid the full responsibility of fulfilling my mission from God. Okay? And that's where joy comes from living fully in the identity of our identity from God. And John the Baptist is a great example of this. So we ask John to guide us through the rest of this mini Advent and prepare the way of the Lord, prepare us for the coming of the Lord.